Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. That's the Spencer Davis Group bringing us back. That's a great rock and roll song from the Wayback Machine. I'm glad you're here. Jack Holdrick is here. I'm glad he's here, too. He's a 10-year-plus member of our Brain Trust, the author of Foresight 2020, one of the top futurists of our time. He's brought with him 10 game-changing technologies. We're not going to get to all of them, but we're going to get to a bunch of them, and you can find the rest of them on his website, which I'll get him to tell us about in a second. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and ageofthecustomer.com. Jack, thanks again for being here. Go ahead and give us your website, because they might want to find this article. I know they can find it on your website.
Yeah, so I've changed my website. It's now just my name, jackaldrich.com, and Aldrich is spelled with a U, U-L-D-R-I-C-H.
So check that out. Jack, another one of your game-changing technologies is what's been going on to the genome, the advances in genome technology. Remind the audience what we mean when we say genomic capability innovations, and then why is that such a big deal?
Yeah, well, first, genomes are just the genes in our body, and a lot of our illness and disease are based upon our genes. Not all of them, but a lot of diseases are. So the reason this is important is 10 years ago, to sequence a person's genome cost $150 million.
What does sequence mean? Tell us what that means.
Well, that means to get all of the genetic information to help us make better healthcare decisions. The machines that did it it cost $150 million.
So sequencing my genes, if they did that to my genes, they would say, okay, based on what we know about what genes cause, you should have, here I can see right here,
right,
that you have this disease or you will have that disease or whatever.
Yeah, so the easiest way to think about this is last year Angelina Jolie announced that she was going to have a double mastectomy. And the reason she made that
prophylactically, she didn't have any disease.
No, she did have breast cancer. She had an 87% chance of getting breast cancer.
Right.
That's what her genomic analysis told her. She said,
right,
I'm not going to take that risk.
Right.
I'm going to take preactive action.
But that's what I mean prophylactically. They call that prophylactically, doing it in advance of in prevention, preventive method. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the reason all of this is important is that in the past, getting that information was wickedly expensive, but
mm-hmm.
in today and in the future, it's going to be really cheap. We're going to be able to do it for pennies by the year 2020.
So what are the moral issues of charting our genomic activity? There are moral issues here that are going to come into play real quick, aren't they?
Well, I think they are, but I think, at least from my perspective, what's really exciting is the ability to the percentage of diseases that are genetically related is quite high,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people. Cancer, other things like that. So from a moral aspect, being able to make sure that all people have access to that information so that they can take preemptive action is, I guess, is a moral issue. I think, obviously, there are deeper moral issues. There's still some contentions out there whether human intelligence is at all genetically based. I know it's a really controversial
right.
issue, but China is really looking deep and hard
mm-hmm.
into this issue. And if it is found, I mean, the ability for certain people to modify their genes to improve their intelligence, well, what are the moral implications of that when your
right.
child is studying hard, trying to get into college?
But that's the other thing is the child the you know if genomic tracking can be done at the fetal level, You know, as you know, could people choose a child based on the genomic tracking of that child? Those are some of the long-term implications that you see. But the point you're making, and I think it's a good one, is that initially it can be used to help all of us to do some health planning, if nothing else.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the ability for us to use this tool to live healthier lives is a real opportunity.
Yep.
To prevent disease from ever occurring in the first place is a real possibility and really exciting implication.
And the cost, the point he's making is the cost to find that out is coming down, and hopefully, you think in 2015 it'll be a lot closer to the average person being able to afford it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
good.
The year after that, even more affordable. So it's coming sooner rather than later. And people should already start asking their doctors this question. I mean, there are over 1,200 drugs right now that if you have a certain gene, that drug either will or won't work on you. But a lot of doctors still don't look at our genes and just give us the
drug. Well, they don't have that training, that background. I want to move on to another real quick, before we wrap up this segment, 3D printed houses. We've talked about 3D on this printing on this show before, but in houses, that could be a big deal, right?
This is a really big deal. Go to my website. There is a video of a massive 3D printer over in China that is printing 10 houses an hour. Now, the houses are small and they're not particularly attractive.
Right.
But what your listeners have to understand is this technology is only going to get better, faster, and cheaper. So the price of those houses is going to go down. The attractiveness of those houses are going to get better. And how we design cities for the 2 billion people that are expected to come on the planet in the next couple of decades. This could be a real...
Maybe we should change the term to 3D printed shelter.
I think that's interesting that you should say that. I think where we're first going to see it is after a natural disaster.
Yeah.
Say there's a massive earthquake.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see China or other countries rapidly deploy this technology.
Yep. Stand by, Jack. Quick break. Folks, we're going to take a quick one and be right back with some more forecasting. Some more foresight from my good friend Jack Aldrich. Tintel, stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.